Welcome to another deep dive. Today we're going to be talking about DJI. They're pretty much the biggest name in drones right now, aren't they?
Yeah, they pretty much are.
So we're going to be looking at how they became so successful. We're going to be using excerpts from the book Managing Innovation for this deep dive. It has a pretty good case study on DJI, you know, from like a little student project to a multi-billion dollar company.
It's a pretty wild story. I mean,
yeah.
It just goes to show how fast the tech world can change, doesn't it?
It really does.
Okay.
All right, so let's start at the beginning with Frank Wang, the founder of DJI. He was really into radio-controlled vehicles. Even as a kid, his parents kind of made a deal with him.
Oh, yeah? What was the deal?
They said, if you improve your grades, we'll get you a helicopter.
Wow, talk about motivation.
Right. And, well, it worked. He got the helicopter, but it crashed almost right away. Apparently, the control systems were, you know, pretty basic back then.
Makes sense. So what happened? Did he just give up on the whole thing?
Not at all. He was frustrated, sure, but it kind of sparked this determination in him. Like, I can make something better than this.
Ah, so that's what led him to study electronic and computer engineering at Hong Kong University of Science and Technology. That's pretty impressive.
It is. It's amazing to think, isn't it? Like a crash toy helicopter putting him on the path to building this huge tech company.
It's kind of funny when you think about it that way.
It really is. But wait, there's more. His final year project, another helicopter he designed, you guessed it, crashed too.
Oh no, not again.
Yeah, not again. But luckily, his professor, Zexiang Li, saw something in him, you know, potential. Became kind of a mentor to him. So Wang kept working on his helicopter designs with his professor's guidance.
So is that the turning point when he finally figured out the whole helicopter thing?
Well, sort of, but then there's this kind of crazy story. He gets an order, like out of the blue, from someone in the US for his helicopter prototype. Ends up selling it for $7,500.
No way. How much did it cost him to make?
Way, way less. Like a fraction of that.
Wow. That's some serious profit for a student project.
I know, right? And so that sale, along with, you know, the encouragement from his professor, gave him the confidence to start a company.
So he rents a small studio in Shenzhen with a couple of his classmates. And that's how DJI was born.
That's how it all started. But before we get too deep into DJI's journey, I think it's helpful to kind of zoom out and look at the bigger picture, you know, the history of drones in general. I bet most people don't realize drones have been around for a lot longer than they think.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. When you say drones, most people just picture those modern quadcopters.
Exactly.
But the whole concept of unmanned aerial vehicles, or UAVs, goes all the way back to the 19th century.
Like how far back?
Get this. 1839. Austrian soldiers attacked Venice using unmanned balloons, and they were loaded with explosives.
What? Wow, I had no idea. That's insane.
It's wild, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's a far cry from the drones we see today, but it shows you that the basic idea of unmanned aircraft has been around for a while.
So they were used for warfare pretty much from the get-go.
Yeah, the early ones were mainly used as targets for military training, like to practice shooting them down.
Makes sense.
But then they started using them for reconnaissance, you know, spying during wars like Vietnam and the Yom Kippur War.
So DJI came onto the scene when this drone technology was already evolving.
And it was also the time when a bunch of other technologies were kind of converging and getting better, like GPS, inertial measurement units, you know, IMUs.
Okay, hold on. You're going to have to explain IMUs for me. I have no idea what those are.
Oh, yeah, sorry. IMUs are these little devices that use sensors to measure a drone's orientation and movement. So things like accelerometers and gyroscopes.
Yeah.
And they're essential for stable flight.
Yeah.
So these technologies, along with digital cameras, were getting smaller, more sophisticated, and cheaper all at the same time. And that kind of created the perfect opportunity for a company like DJI. They could build smaller, more capable, less expensive drones.
So good timing was part of it, but that's not the whole story, right? What did DJI do that was so different from everyone else?
Well, their strategy was pretty smart. Instead of going straight for the everyday consumer market, you know, which already had all those cheap kind of basic drones,
yeah,
they focused on the professionals first.
Really? That seems kind of counterintuitive. Wouldn't it make more sense to target the bigger consumer market right away?
You'd think so, right? But think about it. By going after professionals in demanding fields like filmmaking and agriculture, DJI was able to establish itself as a company that made high-quality, reliable systems.
That makes sense. Those professionals can't afford to have their equipment fail on them, right?
Exactly. And so DJI built a reputation for performance and durability, which is, you know, really important in those industries.
So how did they manage to break into those professional markets? I mean, those were already dominated by established players.
Well, they did it with a kind of 1-2 punch, technological prowess combined with aggressive cost leadership. Their drones performed as well as, or even better than the existing options, but at a much lower price.
Their Ronin camera stabilization system is a great example of that. It really shook up the whole filmmaking
Oh,
industry.
absolutely.
The Ronin was better than the traditional Steadicam, which had been the go-to for decades, and it was way more affordable.
It's a classic example of disruptive innovation, right?
It is.
And that strategy, disrupting those professional markets, gave DJI tons of valuable experience, and it helped them build a really strong brand.
So it was like setting the stage for them to eventually conquer the mass market.
Yeah, you could say that.
So they kind of cut their teeth with the pros, disrupted things with amazing tech at a great price, and then shifted their focus to the everyday drone enthusiast. How do they pull off that leap to the mass market?
Well, their approach was really interesting. They basically invited the community, all the hobbyist drone users, to be a part of their journey. They created this platform for feedback and collaboration, and that really fueled their growth.
I'm listening. Tell me more.
So they really embraced this idea of crowdsourcing. Their online forum became this hub for drone enthusiasts to just hang out, exchange ideas, give feedback on existing products, and even get their hands on early prototypes for testing.
So they were getting real-world input from the people who would actually be using their drones.
Right, and it wasn't just about gathering ideas, it was about building a sense of community and shared ownership. DJI made their users feel like they were part of something bigger, which created this incredible loyalty and buzz around their brand.
Makes sense. People are always more invested in a product when they feel like they've had a hand in shaping it.
Exactly. And then came the Phantom. That was a real game changer for DJI, perfectly capturing what those hobbyist photographers and filmmakers were looking for. Yeah, the ones who wanted to take their work to the next level, literally.
You know, funny you mentioned the Phantom. Before we started this deep dive, I was actually messing around with some drone footage. A friend of mine shot with his Phantom. The quality is unbelievable. The stability, the clarity of the video, it's mind-blowing.
That's really a testament to DJI's commitment to innovation. They combined all this cutting-edge tech, like those IMUs we were talking about earlier,
Right.
and made it super user-friendly, all at an affordable price. They basically democratized aerial photography and videography, opened it up to a whole new world of people.
So we've got technological expertise, a knack for shaking up markets, and this brilliant community-driven approach. But I'm guessing it wasn't all smooth sailing, right? What else contributed to their explosive growth?
Their strategic partnerships and alliances were huge. Their collaboration with Hasselblad, for example.
Hasselblad.
Yeah, they're legendary, for cameras and lenses. That partnership gave DJI access to some of the best imaging technology in the world.
Smart move. Aligning yourself with a respected brand like Hasselblad instantly boosts your credibility, right?
Absolutely. And they didn't stop at just a partnership. Eventually, they acquired a majority stake in Hasselblad, doubling down on their commitment to top-notch imaging quality.
It's like they're not just playing the game, they're changing the rules. And speaking of strategic moves, their partnership with Apple was a stroke of genius.
Oh, yeah, that was
I
huge.
remember when they announced that, it just clicked. You know, their drones are designed to work seamlessly with iPhones, and getting into Apple stores, well, that gives them access to a gigantic and loyal customer base.
It's a perfect example of synergy, leveraging those partnerships to just explode their reach and market penetration. And you can't forget their global outlook. Right from the start, they understood that drones weren't limited by borders.
Managing Innovation actually called them Born Global, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And their sales numbers back that up. Around 30% of their sales come from each of North America, Europe, and Asia, including China.
That's pretty impressive. So they've got strategic partnerships, a global mindset, a deep understanding of their customers. What else is in this magic formula?
Their rapid-fire product development cycle. They're known for constantly iterating and releasing new models, new features, all at a dizzying pace.
It's like they never stand still, always listening to customer feedback, refining their designs, pushing the limits with each new release.
The short gap between Phantom models, roughly 2 years, really shows their commitment to this rapid innovation. And it's not just upgrades. They're constantly expanding their product line to cater to all sorts of users, from, the pros filming Hollywood movies to the weekend warriors just having fun.
So that constant evolution, that constant expansion, that's what keeps them at the forefront of the drone market.
It's like they're always one step ahead.
Yeah.
And going back to that disruptive innovation thing we talked about earlier, starting with that underserved hobbyist market, offering affordable, high-quality drones, that's what gave them a foundation, the loyal customer base, to then move upmarket, challenge those big players in filmmaking and agriculture, you know, offer better products at lower prices.
So they democratized access to this advanced drone technology, made it available to everyone.
Precisely. And it's not all about technology and market strategy. Their organizational structure plays a big part in their success, too.
Oh, really? How so?
Well, DJI has remained mostly privately owned, and that gives them a level of autonomy and agility that a lot of publicly traded companies just don't have.
I see. They're not constantly under pressure from shareholders and quarterly earnings reports. They can be bold, take risks, and change direction quickly if they need to.
Exactly. And a lot of that comes down to Frank Wang's vision and leadership.
Mm-hmm.
He still has a controlling stake in the company.
It's an amazing story. It shows how innovation is about more than just the tech itself. It's about the organization, the partnerships, understanding the market. DJI has blended all of that together in this incredible way.
It's a recipe for success, that's for sure.
But we all know, right? Big success usually comes with big challenges. So what are some of the headwinds DJI is facing as they continue to grow?
What's interesting is that some of the biggest challenges they face are kind of reflections of the bigger issues the entire drone industry is dealing with.
So we've been digging into DJI's amazing rise to the top of the drone world, but like any company, especially one pushing the limits of technology, there are always going to be challenges along the way.
Yeah, and it's interesting how some of the biggest challenges DJI is facing are really just reflections of those bigger issues that the whole drone industry is grappling with right now.
Like regulations, right? You can't just have all these drones flying around without some rules.
Nope. As drones become more common, governments all over the world are trying to figure out how to fit them into our airspace safely and responsibly. It's a pretty complex issue.
Yeah. We've all seen those videos of drones almost hitting airplanes. And then there's the whole privacy issue. And the potential for misuse, of course. Remember that Gatwick airport incident?
Oh, yeah.
That really showed how even just the suspicion of drone activity can cause chaos and security nightmares.
Definitely a wake-up call for the industry. It highlighted the need for clear rules and responsible drone operation.
So how's DJI dealing with this increasingly regulated world?
They've been pretty proactive. They developed the Mavic Mini, for example. It weighs just under 250 grams. Which is the limit for needing a license in a lot of countries. It's a smart way to tap into that market of casual users who don't want to deal with the licensing hassle.
It's like they're finding creative ways to work within the new rules, but must be tough.
Definitely. They've got to keep pushing the boundaries of drone tech while navigating all these regulations that are always changing.
And it's not just regulations. Being a Chinese company operating globally comes with its own geopolitical baggage.
Right. With all the international tensions and trade disputes, Chinese tech companies are under a lot of scrutiny. I've already seen some government agencies and organizations, especially in the U.S., restrict the use of DJI drones.
So how does a company like DJI, with their global aspirations, deal with all that?
It's a tough one. It's going to take some diplomatic maneuvering, strategic partnerships. They might even have to rethink their global manufacturing and supply chains.
It sounds like a pretty risky situation.
It is. But if there's one thing DJI has shown us, it's that they're resilient and they're adaptable. They've always found ways to overcome obstacles and come out stronger on the other side.
Makes you wonder what's next for them and for the whole drone industry.
That's the big question, isn't it? Will they stay on top or will new players challenge them? Will drones become even more a part of our everyday lives, like delivering packages or changing how we get around cities?
Or will all the worries about privacy and security hold them back?
It's exciting to think about all the possibilities. Maybe we'll all be commuting to work and flying drone taxis one day.
Who knows? The technology is definitely moving fast, and DJI is going to be right there leading the way. But, like we've been discussing, there are some real concerns that need to be addressed. It'll be interesting to see how society adapts to this whole drone revolution and what role they ultimately play in our lives.
It's a fascinating topic for sure.
This has been a great deep dive. We've covered so much, from Frank Wang's early helicopter obsession to DJI's global success and the challenges they're facing in this ever-changing world.
It's a story about innovation, strategic thinking, and being ready to embrace both the good and the bad.
And it definitely gives us a lot to think about as we watch this drone revolution unfold. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of DJI.